Good morning, Hope United Methodist Church family, all who are gathered with us wherever you are joining us from. I want to begin by saying a word of thanks to all of you during this time for your patience as we, as a community, try and figure out what is next and what we can do. I have a few announcements I'd like to share with you this morning before we begin our time together. First, if you would like on our prayer chain, please either reach out to Carol Canine. If you have her info, go ahead and shoot her an email, give her a call. Or if you do not have Carol's information, please reach out to our office, and then she, Gabrielle, our office manager, will be able to pass your information along to Carol so that you can get placed onto that list. Also, please know that our Wednesday night meals are back. They're a little bit different. We're using a little less people. We're trying to ensure safety on all kinds of fronts, social distancing, and all kinds of things. As such, they are drive-through only. We ask that if you come, you enter off of Center Street Road out there and drive through and follow the flow of the parking lot. And not only are we giving out a meal, but we're also giving out masks. Ladies of our church, members of our church, have been diligently making masks so that those in our community who need them could have them. These are free. You can come for only the mask. If you do not need a meal, you're welcome to come and simply request a mask only. So that's happening Wednesday, every Wednesday, and we will be serving from 5:30 until 6:30. So we ask that you drive through, pick up some food, grab a mask if you need one during that time, and please follow the flow of our parking lot. Finally, I want you to know, I'm wearing this hoodie on purpose today. As many of you probably know, Pastor Andrew is an avid baseball fan, and especially of my hometown team, the Kansas City Royals. Now, I know that normally we would be having baseball season right now, and yet we're all aware of the fact that we are not. Baseball has been postponed as they seek to ensure safety during this time for fans and players alike. So too, we desire to be together in person. Yet as we look down, we can tell that we are not together in person. But that does not mean that the church is not the church. And that does not mean that we do not long for the return of gathering. We are both working to ensure our own internal plans as Hope United Methodist Church, and also following all guidance that has been issued by our bishop and our conference for coming together again in worship, timelines for that, phases for that, and safe ways for us to do that. Just as I miss baseball, I miss being able to gather together physically on Sunday mornings. But I also know that we are charged to ensure safety of all under our care, and that to rush back to worship without any safety or plans in place would be reckless for you and for all who come to find God. So at this time, we are working on plans, but we are still not gathering in person. So please, if you have any further questions, don't hesitate to contact me. I'll be happy to answer them, but know that we are looking ahead and asking ourselves what can be, what will be, and how can we continue to be the people of hope in the midst of this time. Now let us enjoy and begin our time of worship as we listen to our prelude.
This morning, would you please join me in our call to worship? We are God's church.
We come together to worship.
He has given us his word.
We come together to learn from him.
He has filled us with his power.
We go out to bring others to him.
He has called us into his family.
We come together to share our lives.
He has put his words on our lips.
We go out to tell the world about him.
He has given us his spirit.
We come together to celebrate.
He has showered us with his riches.
We go out to share his goodness with others.
He has freed us from our past.
We come together to move forwards.
He has planned for us a glorious future.
We go out to live our lives to please him.
We are God's church.
We come together to worship.
Amen.
Bless be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. Before our Father's throne we pour our ardent prayers, our fears, our hopes, our aims, our want, our comforts and our cares. We share each other's woes, our mutual burdens bear, and often for each other flows the sympathizing tear. When we all some depart, it gives us inward pain, but we shall still be joined in heart and hope to meet again.
Now, as we gather in a time of prayer, let us join in our unison prayer. Lord, we come together while we remain apart. Help us to find unity and community despite our distance. While we remain apart in body, help us to be together in spirit, that we would be united in love. May Christ, of whose body we are a part, draw us closer together in fellowship with one another. Amen. Now, as we continue our time of prayer, may we utilize a time of music and silence to help us continue to center and direct our prayers and our hearts, our minds, and our souls towards God. Thank you. Lord, we gather this week and ask that you would be with us wherever we find ourselves. Yet another week, another day, another story on the news. In the midst of it, we can't help but feel that this has no end. And yet we know that there will be a time when we gather again. There will be a time when we gather together in community, but we also know that our community is not limited to our physical being together, but is in fact part of who we are. We are the community. We are the church. Whether we are here in person or gathered together in spirit from afar, we care and support for one another through our prayers. We seek to support our community through our service and our witness. Lord, guide us and use us as you will, and protect us during this time. We pray for those on the front lines, the healthcare workers, those who work in stores, who stock shelves, who clean, those who take care of things that we take for granted. We ask that you would safeguard and watch over them as well. We pray for those who have continuing illnesses, those who are sick, those who deal with diagnosis, and those who struggle with treatment. Lord, we pray for those who struggle with addiction and who feel lost and isolated right now. And Lord, we pray for those who are celebrating and yet have their celebration feel less so because of the crisis. We pray that they would still continue to celebrate, that they would find God wherever they are, and they would know that their celebration cannot be taken away, nor cheapened, nor dampened by this time. For we celebrate with them. We ask all of this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who walked and talked among us, who experienced life with us, and who knows what we are going through. He taught us while he was here a great many things, but especially he taught us the importance of taking time to pray. So now we join in the prayer that he taught as we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our scripture lesson today comes from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. The believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the community, to their shared meals, and to their prayers. A sense of awe came over everyone. God performed many wonders and signs through the apostles. All the believers were united and shared everything. They would sell pieces of property and possessions and distribute the proceeds to everyone who needed them. Every day, they met together in the temple and ate in their homes. They shared food with gladness and simplicity. They praised God and demonstrated God's goodness to everyone. And the Lord added daily to the community those who were being saved. This is the word of God for all people. Thanks be to God. Growing up, family was a key part of my community. And it did help that my entire maternal side of the family lived within about 30 minutes of each other. We were all up in each other's business. I remember going to one of my older cousin's football games when he was in middle school. I remember going to school plays, though I don't remember much about the play. I think I was probably playing my Game Boy for most of it. I remember baptisms, I think, and I remember just being together a lot. Now, we were privileged growing up, I recognize that. My grandparents owned a house on Table Rock Lake in Missouri, and I think I talked about that last week with fishing, but we would go down often during the summer, at least two or three times, and spend a lot of time there. And it wouldn't just be one unit of the family. Often it would be at least, you know, two of our units, if not the whole family, finding a way to pack into the house together, all the aunts and uncles and cousins. And I remember that one of the linchpins of all of this happening was my grandmother, is my grandmother. And she still does this, but she has taught me a lot about the importance of family as it pertains to community. And we hear that in our scripture for today. In our scripture for today, we are presented with an idealized version of the early Christian community by Luke. Now, we're not exactly sure if it's exactly how the church was running at the time. I'm sure he's overlooking some of the things, but often when we first begin something, it's very easy to have it be what we would like. And then obviously as people get involved, we mess things up a little bit. And we see that as soon as chapter 5 of Acts, that the church is having issues within itself. And yet we get today an idealized version of what the church would be. And I like some of the things that they're doing. I think we need to hear them again because I think it's important. We hear that they are doing wonders and signs through the apostles because they've devoted themselves to the following things. They've devoted themselves to teaching, to the community, to shared meals, and to prayers. These are four simple things that become very difficult, but that they have devoted themselves to. So why are these all important? Well, first, the importance of teaching. In teaching, we hand things down to others. We share knowledge. My grandmother has shared a lot of knowledge with us. One of the most important things that my grandmother shared with us growing up was the love of board games. But not only the love of board games, but the drive to win at board games is something deep within my family. And I feel like part of it is because of my grandmother. But what's interesting about board games and puzzles and things of that type is that they would often come out at all of our family gatherings, whether it was a rainy day on a vacation or Thanksgiving or Easter or Christmas or anything we found ourselves gathered for. After the meal was over, all of a sudden board games or puzzles would show up. And it wasn't about the competitiveness that I think fueled the board games. When we look at it at the heart of it, what a board game or a puzzle does is it gathers us around the table and says, let us share with one another. Some of our family's best inside jokes are about things that happen during board games. Whether it's my grandmother saying, no table talk, during the game of sequence, or just those little tiny things that you forget about after a couple of weeks, but that during the moment are so hilarious when you're playing Scattergories or Mexican Train Dominoes or Chickenfoot Dominoes. Dominoes is a popular one with my family. Or Uno or any kind of game. There's something about gathering around the table and having something to both guide your time, but to allow you to be more free with one another that is so good and that we teach to those who come after us. The importance of gathering around the table. And so therefore we have the second piece. They had shared meals. They gathered together and ate food. Now, right now, it's not a great idea to share in meals. Except for those that we live with. We're trying to maintain safety, of course, but we can share in meals in so many ways. We can share in meals through delivering things to our neighbor's house. You can make some cookies and take them over and drop them off. We can share in meals from a distance. We can FaceTime our families during meals to be together. Often we will FaceTime either my mother-in-law or my parents when my daughter is eating, which is quite a show sometimes, but it gives a sense and an ability of that dinner time conversation. How was your day? What did you do that we might be lacking during this time? And that's something that we learned from my grandmother as well. We would have these big meals when we were on vacations together, or when we were at their house for any of the numerous holidays we spent together, we would have meals. We would gather around the table. My grandparents have been going through some of their odds and ends that they have accumulated throughout their lifetime recently, and my grandmother pawned off, but that probably sounds bad. Has passed down some of these items that they don't really want hanging around their house anymore. And one of them was a bell, and it was this little tiny handbell, and it's something that apparently I was very adamant about ringing before we would gather for any meal. That I said, before we have our meal, I have to ring this bell. And so my grandmother said, you get to have the bell now. But that sense of community, of family mealtime, was something that was so important growing up, and that my grandmother helped to facilitate and impress upon us the importance of. Meals became a time of gathering. And for the early church, they were a way of gathering. Here at Hope, we are celebrating meals right now. Now, they're very to-go style. They're not gathered around a table. But as people drive through and receive from us a meal or a mask, it's something that says we care about you. And my hope is that when they partake in that food, they know that we are with them in spirit, that we are gathered around the table with them as we partake in the meal. One of my grandmother's favorite sayings when it came to mealtime was often related to the preparation of meals. And it was that there's too many buns in the kitchen. And that's because the kitchen was very tiny. And so you'd get three people in there and you wouldn't have enough space. And yet it was also amazing to watch all those gathered in the kitchen preparing meals together. Because there's also the part of the meal that is the preparation. And my grandmother taught that there is just as much that can go into the time spent preparing something together as there is to the eating of the meal and to the time spent after the meal. Every phase of what we do is important. And I think that's important as well for the early community of believers. It doesn't say that anything about the preparation of the meal and what they devoted themselves to. It says they devoted themselves to the shared meal. But there is an aspect of that that is so critical, which is the preparation of that meal. They devoted themselves to togetherness and to working together to help the whole community, not just their community. We know this because it says many people came to believe because of what they were doing. When we put effort and care about something, people know it and they see it. So right now we may feel like we don't have a lot going on. We may feel like we can't do very much. But I challenge you to find that one thing that you can do. Is it calling somebody else to check on them? Is it baking cookies for people in your neighborhood? Is it simply praying for other people? Whatever it is that you can do, I challenge you to take that one thing and put yourself into it. Because when we put ourselves into things, people notice. That's another lesson that my grandmother has taught everyone in my family, is the importance of caring and caring well and doing things well. My grandmother is a violinist, and I can't help but think that had an impact on the fact that I play the viola, my brother plays the violin, my cousin plays the cello. I think one of my other cousins plays the cello as well. I can't keep track of all my cousins all the time. Too many small things I have to remember. But I do know that my grandmother had an impact on us in terms of passion and saying, when you do something, put yourself into it. We know that the early community, we're told in this short chapter, this short section of Acts, was devoted to many things. And it said, God performed many wonders and signs through the apostles. It doesn't say what these wonders and signs are, and I think that's also an important distinction. Something doesn't have to be miraculous to be wonderful. Something doesn't have to be spectacular to be a sign from God. We can find the wonder and the signs of God everywhere in our midst. We can find them in the smallest of moments or in the greatest of celebrations. So I challenge you, as well as you go through your daily walks and your time at home, to look for the wonders and signs of God as you put yourself into what you're doing. My grandmother is great at making all of us feel cared for and lifted up in my family. She is great at affirming and supporting us in whatever we try. And I think that's something that's important, because that is in and of itself a sign and a wonder. It is a sign of love. Now, love is important for a lot of reasons. And as we look at our scripture for today, it's also important that when we talk about all of the things that they did together in community, especially their unity that they had. John Wesley, the beginner of Methodism, founder of Methodism, says that the motive for all of this unity and for this sharing amongst one another and this growth is love. Love is something that is powerful and bonding and unique. Love is something that God shares with each and every one of us, and that God tasks us to share with each other. Love is something that my grandmother shares to everyone, whether they're part of her blood family or not. Love is something that I grew up experiencing because of her. Love is something that she continues to share to this day. Love is something that she has for my grandfather, despite this horrendous song that he used to sing to her and that he taught my brother and I, called the Horsefly Song. And I'm not going to sing it for you, but let's just say I'm pretty sure that's not actually doing any good for my grandfather, but apparently my grandmother loves him enough to put up with it. But love is something that she taught us the importance of as it pertains to family. Love as something that overcomes all things, and love as something that binds all things together. The early church had at their center love as their foundation. This is why miraculous things happened. This is why signs and wonders took place, not because they were perfect, not because they had it all figured out, not because their music was what everybody wanted it to be, or because they were physically together or in person, or because of anything about what they taught or believed, because at the heart of it, what it was about is that they focused on the love of God for them and for each other, and all their teaching and everything that they did came out of that. The love of God that is Christ, who walked among us, who died on a cross for us, who conquered the grave for us, and who is now with us, and who has sent the Holy Spirit to be with us. That love was the center of their teaching. And it's the center of community, whether it's a family of blood or a family of believers or just a family of friends that has been brought together through unique but common circumstances. Love becomes our center. And that is something that I have learned from my grandmother. Love. So we, as we look at our scripture, must ask ourselves that question every day. When we look at this and say, sure, it's an ideal, and we see that they fail at living up to the ideal, what we really should ask ourselves, and what we should ask ourselves as we read it and say, how do I live this in my life, is, am I loving every day? Am I loving to the best of my ability? And am I seeking each and every day to do more, be more loving in my daily walk with God? So right now, we may be divided by politics. We may be separated by church doctrines. We may be physically separated due to isolation, quarantine, stay at home, and just fear. But love overcomes that and challenges us to remember that we are more than whatever label we slap on ourselves or somebody slaps on us. We are more than that person who lives alone and has no one to physically talk to right now. We are more because of the love of God. And so may that love continue be with you and within you. And may you be the bearer of that love to the world. Because that is a great lesson to teach. Amen. As we gather now for our service of offertory, I know that we cannot be here to physically place our offerings on the altar, but there are ways in which we can still give, whether those be monetary gifts given through our online portal or dropped off here at church, or if they are gifts of our spirit, our prayers and our service to the community, our witness to God that we place spiritually on the altar at this time. I know that we have many things to place before God, and we give thanks for our ability to do so. So now as we gather, let us take a moment of silence and place our offerings upon the altar. And now would you join with me in our doxology. Let us now join in our unison prayer as we respond to offertory. Lord, we place much on the altar for you, but most of all, we ask that we could place ourselves upon the altar. Help us to be people of generosity. As we gather and strive to live more fully as your disciples, may we allow you to fully enter our hearts and lives. Amen. Hey, Hope Church family. As we conclude worship today, you'll notice I'm in a different spot. I'm in the backyard here at the parsonage, and behind me is the raised garden that I've been working on. You'll notice it's pretty sturdy, not yet done, but it's got some dirt in it. It's a work in progress, but it's something else that I learned from my grandparents, my love of gardening. And I'm also wearing my World Series Champions Royals hoodie and my World Series Champions hat, because baseball and gardening have something in common. They both give us hope. Baseball gives us hope every year that this season could be a better season, that it could be our season. Growing up, I never got to see a Royals championship. In fact, it was not until my adulthood, my late 20s, that I got to see the Royals win a World Series. Just like that, gardening is something that takes time. We can build a garden. We can put dirt in it. We can plant things in it. We can water it. We can care for it. And we can hope above all things that it will grow and produce much fruit. But it takes time. So we may be lamenting that we are apart and that we don't know when we'll get to be back together. But right now, this is a time of preparation, a time for us to take a step back and to work on stuff, an extended season of Lent, a time for us to get ready for growth and to know that it's okay because it's about to be a new season, a season of hope, and that we get to be the bearers, carriers, and planters of the seeds of hope to the world. So as you go out today and as we sing our benediction song, which you'll notice is a little different than the last many weeks, I hope you take that with you, that you are a keeper and a bearer of hope. Amen.
Be with you till we meet again. Neath his wings securely hide you. Daily manna still provide you. God be with you till we